Welcome, councillors, officers, members of the press and the public gallery. Please be upstanding. We, the councillors of Hobsons Bay, recognise that we are privileged to serve a community enriched by diversity. We respect and value our community's backgrounds, customs and beliefs and declare that we will always act impartially to the best of our skill and judgment. Through our deliberations and our conduct, we will uphold the council values and deliver outcomes that enhance the city of Hobsons Bay. Please remain standing. I'd like to acknowledge that we are gathered on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. We recognise the First Peoples' enduring relationship to this land and offer our respects to their elders, past and present. Please be seated. This meeting is being live streamed on the council website to enhance public access to deliberations of council, and that live stream is operating now. The meeting is also being recorded as a podcast and will be made available on the council website tomorrow. The chair recognises the member of the Legislative Council for the Western Metropolitan Region, Mr. Bernie Finn, MP. We're honoured to have your presence here tonight. Mr. Finn is the Shadow Assistant Minister for Autism, Shadow Assistant Minister for Police and Community Safety. And it's lovely to have you in the chamber. Thank you for observing our meeting. I'd like also to welcome fellow citizens, residents of Hobsons Bay, and honoured guests. We also have our past councillor, Jason Price, here today as well.
And former Deputy Mayor, Councillor Hogg.
Thank you, former Deputy Mayor. Welcome, Jason. Lovely to have you here. Thanks for taking the time to be here tonight. Welcome to everyone in the gallery. It is important that the deliberations of the council can be observed by members of the public. I want to remind the gallery this evening that council meetings are to be conducted in accordance with the Hobsons Bay governance rules. This includes rules pertaining to the participation and behaviour of community members in attendance. Under section 3.1.7.1, council meetings are decision-making forums for the council that are open to the community to attend and view the proceedings. Community members may only participate in council meetings in accordance with rule 13.3. 13.3.1 says any member of the public or community when present at a meeting must extend courtesy and respect to the participants of the meeting and to the processes under which it operates. 13.3.1.2 is maintain silence unless permitted to speak. 13.3.1.3 is not interject or attempt to take part in the debate or the proceedings of the meeting. 13.3.1.4 says to take direction from the chairperson whenever called upon to do so. 13.3.2, and I'll stop reading out the clauses. Councillors, council staff and members of the public must ensure that mobile telephones are turned to silent during meetings of the council and committees of council. The chairperson has the discretion to cause removal of any person, including a councillor, who disrupts any meeting or fails to comply with the direction. To that end, any person disrupting the meeting will be provided with one warning, after which, if the person continues to disrupt the meeting or does not comply, they will be removed. Any person is considered to be disrupting a meeting if they engage in disorderly behaviour as defined in the governance rules, including interjecting when another person is speaking, making comments that are defamatory, malicious, abusive or offensive, or refusing to leave the meeting when requested, ordered or directed to do so by the chairperson in accordance with the Act and the governance rules, engaging in any other conduct which prevents the orderly conduct of the meeting. A person must not use an audio recorder, video camera, mobile phone or any other device to live stream or make a recording of the proceedings of a meeting of council or a committee of council without the prior authorisation of council or the committee. Any person who contravenes or attempts to contravene this rule will be or may be removed from the meeting as provided in rule 13.3.4. A person in the gallery must not operate film, photographic, tape recording or other equipment to reproduce sound and or images at any meeting without first obtaining the consent of the chairperson. And the consent of the chairperson given under that rule may be revoked at any time during the course of a meeting by the chairperson, stating that consent has been revoked and ordering that the recording cease, at which time the recording must cease. So that's just a way of bringing everyone up to speed of the rules under which we operate as a council, by agreement of the council, and applies to all of us in this room, but in particular to the councillors who are participating in debate. So to sum up, this is not a town hall meeting in the sense that the public gets to participate. This is a bit like Parliament, where members debate with one another and the public is allowed to observe. Thank you all. And I should say, most of all, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. It's better when the public can be in the chamber, and I'm sorry that we can only have so few due to the density rule under the current guidelines of the Chief Health Officer. We have a full complement of councillors, so there are no apologies to be granted. I'd ask under item three that councillors disclose any conflicts of interest as required under the Local Government Act. Councillors, are there any conflicts of interest to be disclosed? And I have none to declare. The purpose of the meeting tonight, this evening's urgent council meeting has been called in accordance with section 4.4.1.5 of the Hobsons Bay Governance Rules. The meeting is proposed for the following purposes to be separately and sequentially resolved by council. So there's three technical governance procedures that we have to go through in order to make this a valid meeting and to consider the rescission motion that has been brought. We'll move through those under item four in order to get to the business of the meeting, which is 5.1.1, namely the notice of rescission number 10, curbside waste and recycling service review, which was the decision taken by council on the 29th.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the council conducts tonight's urgent council meeting in accordance with 4.4.1.5 of the Hobsons Bay Governance Rules.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Thank you, Deputy Mayor, the seconder. Before we proceed to debate, I might just ask if anyone has any questions about this particular motion. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I have a few questions. First of all, yourself, Councillor Sutton Legault, and I put up a rescission motion to overturn the decision made on June 29 on the general waste collection moving to weekly collection. We'd expect that to be heard at the meeting next Tuesday. Can the Acting CEO explain why we are hearing it tonight?
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. I'll ask the Acting CEO to respond.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. The governance rules relating to a rescission motion are in section 8.17 of our governance rules, and they state that unless the notice specifies a meeting date, the CEO must list the notice at the next appropriate council meeting, together with a brief report. That would be next week. That process was followed with the rescission motion that was signed by three councillors. However, when an urgent meeting was subsequently initiated in writing by four councillors to consider the rescission motion at 6:30 p.m. this evening, that was done under section 4.4 of the governance rules relating to urgent meetings, and that takes precedence. So paragraph 4.4.1.5 states that an urgent meeting can be called by the council for any reason seen as necessary by the council. And that's why the first point noted in section 4 of tonight's agenda about the meeting purpose is for council to determine to hold an urgent meeting.
Ms. Acting CEO, the governance rules state that in relation to urgent and emergency meetings, they can only be called if there is a natural disaster, the death of a council or executive officer, a resignation of the CEO, or for a reason which may have an impact on the council that cannot wait until the next scheduled meeting, or, as you say, for reasons provided by three councillors. And I note that there are actually four councillors, Councillors Briffa, Tyler, Callender and Grimer, that called this meeting. But I would suggest the reasoning seems a bit flimsy in relation to a hearing motion
Councillor,
next Tuesday.
Please avoid editorialising. I'd prefer that you just ask the question.
I'm just taking the facts, Mr. Mayor.
No statements are allowed. I'd much
prefer... Sorry. I'm getting to my question.
Please do.
Yeah. So just setting out those are the main reasons, because I realise that a lot of people that are listening in and they don't understand the governance rules, so I'm just explaining what the rules state.
It's not your... But please, Councillor Grimmer,
yeah.
I won't tolerate interjections. It's not your role to explain to Councillor Hemphill the rules, nor is it Councillor Hemphill's role to explain to the public the rules.
No, so
Please direct your question to me and keep it limited to a question.
So what I'm seeking from the acting CEO is why this couldn't be held last Monday, or why is it that we deemed that the reasons that were put to all councillors when this urgent meeting was called, why we deemed to be as valid by as our governance rules? What is the reasoning behind?
Point of order. Thank you. My point of order is against provision 8.18.3.2. It's irrelevant. It's not. We're not speaking. Or the question isn't in relation to the motion, and the motion is specifically about that we conduct tonight's meeting. So let's conduct tonight's meeting. He's not speaking that we shouldn't have tonight's meeting. He's arguing, you know, about the local law. So let's have tonight's meeting. If he, is he suggesting that we shouldn't have tonight's meeting?
Well, then, thank you.
It's irrelevant. Thank you.
Yeah, I will. Can you say
I will allow the CEO to repeat the legal advice, because I think that goes to the heart of the matter. As to when it should have been asked is indeed irrelevant. So, or when it should have been held is irrelevant. The fact is that we're dealing with a motion to hold the meeting tonight. So, Acting CEO, will you go to that point that you've received as legal advice?
Through you, Mayor, yes, it is largely, as I stated, that the rules around an urgent meeting, the clause 4.4.1.5 allows for the council to hold an urgent meeting for any reason seen as necessary by the council.
So could I just clarify that, you know, on that a bit further? So it could be for any reason?
I believe so.
And, sorry.
Through you, Mayor, provided it's supported in writing by three councillors, and again, seen as necessary by the council. Any reason the council sees as necessary.
And just a further question in relation to an urgent council meeting. I'm gathering from the agenda that there can be no questions from the public as per normal council meetings.
Acting CEO, would you answer that question?
Through you, Mayor, I believe that is the case, but I might seek clarification from the Acting Director of Corporate Services.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, indeed. This public questions are not provided for today because this is not a scheduled meeting of council and it's confined to the matters of the meeting. Nothing else can be dealt with apart from that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. We have now finished with questions. I don't think there are any further questions to be put, in which case I will now go to the mover, Councillor Briffer, who has 5 minutes to speak to the motion.
I won't need 5 minutes, I don't think. I think the local law is quite clear. It states verbatim, circumstances to call an urgent or emergency meeting. An urgent or emergency meeting can be initiated under the following circumstances, and 4.4.1.5 says any reason seen as necessary by the council, provided such requirement is supported in writing by three councillors. Now, this was supported by four councillors. That's a majority of the council, and here we are tonight. So I'm keen to get this over and done with, and we can discuss the more substantive matters before us.
Thank you. As seconder, Deputy Mayor, would you like to add anything?
Nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor.
In which case, I'll now put that motion.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, sorry. Would you like to speak to it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Forgive me. I was a bit rushed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, so I'm actually going to speak against this motion because I believe that and most times past practice, it would normally go to the normal next council meeting. And I can see why it would be brought forward to an urgent council meeting, because as I concedes from the question I just asked is that no questions can come from the public, and either in advance as per the normal process and or on the night as we just heard. And it also precludes petitions being tabled, and I know that there's one floating around. It's got 1,600 signatures that are canning the motion that went through last week, and that couldn't be had. So essentially what we're seeing here is what we saw last week, was some ambushing of the debate by not allowing, last week it was in relation to not allowing some councillors adequate notification that this was coming up. I'd also like to point out that public transparency has gone by the wayside by holding a meeting such as this. And
can you?
It's offensive. It's what a joke.
It's obscene.
Deputy Mayor, please use the councillor's full title. And can you say exactly what? What is irrelevant?
It's improper. It's an intimidating type statement. There you go.
I don't accept that. You're going to have to come up with a better reason.
But, yeah.
Are you making a point of order?
I'll be making a point of order.
What's your point of order?
The fact is, this did go out to public consultation.
No. Council agreement. Councillor Greemer, please. Yeah, no.
That's not fair. Can I not speak to the motion?
No, because you'll have your turn in a little while to speak to the motion.
Sorry.
But we're considering a point of order, and a point of order is a very restricted set of reasons. In order to deem a point of order, it has to be either contrary to these governance rules or other legislative obligations, irrelevant, frivolous or vexatious, improper, obscene or intimidating, and outside council's legal power.
But
so,
can I just put this up? What you're suggesting is that...
No. It's a technical point, and you will have a chance to speak. I'll go now to Councillor Briffa. Point of order, go.
Thank you. I've got a microphone, but okay. Thank you. My point of order is that the comments by a councillor at this public meeting that transparency is dead is obscene. It's divisive. It's not helpful for good governance in this community or in this council, and certainly portrays the council in a negative light. I ask the councillor to withdraw that statement and apologise to his fellow councillors for that statement. The very fact that we have got the community here present tonight shows that communication is not dead.
Councillor Briffa, you're embarking on debate and you've had your chance. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. So let's rule on the point of order, okay? Good. Okay, so you say that it's obscene. I don't think that's the case. I do accept that Councillor Hempel is not playing the ball necessarily in this case, and I think we should...
At that point, I just want to say, well, you did move this rescission motion as well as the other two, so there's a conflict...
Councillor Briffa, this is really not appropriate for you to interject like this. Okay, thank you. Because the whole point of these rules is so that we can all speak our minds in turn and be heard fairly. So I propose that we move forward on that basis. Avoid any insinuations of personal irresponsibility or imputations that people have acted improperly because... But it's not obscene, is my point. But thank you, and continue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm glad they were ruled out. The main point I'm making is that the difference between this meeting and the normal meeting that would be held is that no petitions can be tabled, no questions from the public in advance, no questions from the public from the floor on the night, and that is just the difference between this meeting. So what I'm saying is that in the normal process of how transparent we pride ourselves in being, members of the public have not been had an opportunity to be able to do either of those things, have their petition or joint letter tabled, have questions answered in the normal fashion. So for that reason, I'll be voting against this particular meeting, this particular type of meeting to deal with the rescission motion. I believe that it should have been next Tuesday when all those other things could take place.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. I understand that Councillor Tyler would like to speak next, and then if you'd like Councillor Greenmer to speak afterwards. Certainly. Go ahead, Councillor Tyler. You have 3 minutes.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. I won't need that. Firstly, echoing you, I encourage my councillor colleagues to engage in respectful debate. Respectful debate. And that means not making assumptions about people's intent, because we can't observe intent. I'd like to thank people in the public gallery for joining tonight, and I'd share to Councillor Hemphill's comments that was respectful engagement as I walked in to this building tonight. And I welcome that. I welcome questions from the public, and I welcome a petition. That's part of a functioning democracy. And to assume that this urgent meeting is seeking to somehow prevent a functioning democracy, noting that we're meeting next Tuesday, welcome questions, welcome a petition. And to assume that that is the intent, I think, is entirely inappropriate and disrespectful.
Next speaker is Councillor Greenmer. And I'll just ask you perhaps to keep the applause to a minimum, because although it seems like a spectator sport, this is actually a debate between councillors, and we don't really need... It's not the MCG, in other words. Councillor Greenmer. Yeah.
We are trying to be honest. We are trying to be transparent. That's why we went to a meeting last week. I got blindsided by this rescission motion, but I'm accepting it, and I want to work with my colleagues on this issue. But to throw our integrity out the window, I don't accept that. If we didn't go to the meeting last week, and this was all closed behind closed doors, like the home care on a Saturday, without the public's knowledge, then I would say that is not right, even if I'm for the motion. And I completely support anybody. And I've spoken to you all about this, and I've posted on Facebook.
Councillor Greenmer, please, okay. I'm bringing you to order. Do not address the gallery. Please direct your remarks to the chair.
Apologies, I was looking at the gallery. I didn't mean that.
No, that's quite okay, but just remember that we're...
Sorry. I respect you all. I really do. And I'm very transparent, trustworthy, and I open to any discussion. And that's why I also came here on a Saturday. I've said to you numerous times, please come to me. I've come to you all. I speak a lot, as all my colleagues know. I said, come. I'm happy to hear an open, healthy and discussion debate, which I didn't think that what part of Councillor Hemphill's comments were addressed about our integrity. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Greenmer. I'll now ask if anyone else would like to speak to the motion, or against the motion for that matter. Otherwise, we'll move on to a vote, unless you wanted to sum up.
I want a closed debate.
Certainly. It's
beautiful.
It's your due as the mover to...
Let it rip. Yep.
To sum up, and I invite you to do so now. Thank you, Councillor Briffin.
So this motion that we debated for such a long time is all about that we conduct tonight's meeting. So let's conduct tonight's meeting. Just want to remind councillors that the very last rescission motion that was lodged here at the council was resolved, and actually I moved, and it was following a council decision to cease in-home care. That particular rescission motion was then subsequently responded to by council by having an urgent meeting on a Saturday morning when one councillor was overseas. No councillor at the time complained about that. funny, that. As for the term ambushing, well, I humbly believe that this rescission motion was an ambush. It was launched on Friday night. So last Friday, late afternoon, in fact, as according to the acting CEO's email to us. The councillor team met last Saturday morning and none of the councillors mentioned it. None of the three councillors, so we had no idea until the Monday. The following Monday afternoon, we received the notice. So much for, you know, an ambush and surprise. All councillors voted in support of these governance... Sorry, at least all the former councillors, so outgoing councillors, so Councillor Hempel and the Mayor, voted in support of these governance rules. And they knew that this provision of the governance rule says that an urgent or emergency meeting can be initiated under the following circumstances. Any reason seen as necessary by the council, provided such requirement is supported in writing by three councillors. And we have had four councillors. The majority of the council support this this urgent meeting so we can debate this. And here we are debating it. Here we are having community in the chamber. It's open to the public, unlike the previous rescission motion that happened on a Saturday morning that was closed to the public, that I deliberately didn't... Anyway. And we had protesters outside tonight, which was fantastic, and asked questions and all that stuff. We've had lots of discussion and debate on social media. It's hardly being held behind closed doors and stifling debate. Thank you. Let's put it to the vote.
Thank you, Councillor Briffer, and I'll do just that. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? All those against? The motion is carried. Councillor Briffer calls division. That entails a new vote, so we'll take the vote again. I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The Deputy Mayor, Councillor Callender, Councillor Briffer, me, Councillor Marsden, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, Councillor Greemer, Councillor Tyler. All those against the motion, Councillor Hempel. Thank you. The motion is carried. We now move to the second technical point, which is to decide the validity of the notice of rescission.
And, Mr. Mayor, to facilitate discussion, I'm happy to move...
Certainly.
..that the Council accepts the legal advice regarding the validity of Notice of Rescission Number 10... Curbside Waste and Recycling Service Review submitted to the Acting Chief Executive Officer on 2nd July 2021.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder? Or do you have a seconder? Certainly, Deputy Mayor, the seconder. Thank you. I'll now invite councillors to ask questions. Councillor Tyler's indicated interest and then followed by Councillor Hempel. Go ahead, Councillor Tyler. What's your question?
Thanks, Mayor Marsden. Just to facilitate shared understanding for folks who might not be intimately familiar with the governance rules on this matter, through you, Mayor, a question for the Acting CEO. Could you please share the factors that determine whether a resolution of council will be deemed to have been acted on?
Thank you. I'll ask Acting CEO to respond. Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor. This is outlined in Section 8.17 of the governance rules. A rescission motion may be proposed, provided that the decision has not yet been acted on, as well as other provisions. Specifically in relation to being acted on, paragraph 8.17.6.2 states that a decision of council will be deemed to have been acted on if its contents or substance has been formally communicated to a person whose interests are materially affected by it. So a material impact might be, for example, a decision on a planning permit where a person might have taken a significant step following this decision, such as demolishing a building or signing a significant contract. In this case, the resolution to change the curbside service frequencies will take many months to come into effect, and the interests of community members were deemed not to have been materially affected in the 3 days between that decision and the rescission motion.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Any further questions? Councillor Hempel has a question now. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When the rescission motion was put up last Friday afternoon, councillors that signed that weren't clear whether it was legitimate when it was put up, and probably it goes to answering Councillor Griffith's earlier question. So my question now is what legal advice, and I don't expect you to go through it verbatim, but what legal advice was sought, and largely what does it say? Is it valid to hold the rescission? Because we've made an assumption with the moving of the motion in that regard.
Thank you, Councillor Hempel. Acting CEO.
Through you, Mayor, Council sought legal advice, in fact, from two leading administrative law partners, from Macquarie and Maddox, and the advice from both was unequivocal, that the rescission motion met the requirements of Council's governance rules.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Winslade. Thank you, Councillor Hempel. Any other questions? In which case, we'll now go to the mover of the motion. Councillor Briffitt, go ahead.
Thank you. I really don't want to be... I don't want to be controversial, but I do want to... I do question why the motion hadn't been acted upon earlier, particularly when there was the matter regarding kindergartens, and that matter was acted upon almost immediately after the meeting, and yet this one hadn't been acted upon for several days. But nonetheless, I'm happy to accept that legal advice, even though I haven't seen the legal advice, and it hasn't been circulated to councillors, in the interests of being able to proceed with tonight's meeting and to then debating and considering the rescission motion. Thank you. Just put it to the vote.
Certainly. Thank you, Councillor Briffer. Councillor Callender, anything to add?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Similar to Tony, happy to accept professional legal advice. Unlike some councillors who like to draw things.
Councillor Callender, refrain from personal attacks here.
Well, I personally don't believe that there's a need to continue to draw things out and waste people's time here tonight. So in the interests of getting things done, let's just move on.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Any other speakers?
Sorry, I'm not sure. I'm not sure why we're seeking further discussion.
Oh, sorry. I must have lost track. No, we're on a new motion now. We're on a second, we're on the second motion.
That we went from straight from questions.
Yeah, so we resolved question one, now we're on question two. So I should allow, as Chair, people to speak to the motion, and in which case, seconder has spoken, and it's now up to others if they like to. Councillor Tyler, go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. Speaking for the motion, briefly, a motion that has been acted upon can't be rescinded, and to that end, there's a very specific definition of acted upon, and as my colleagues have said, noting the legal advice received and also the importance of facilitating respectful debate, I'm happy to support this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Any other speakers? Falls to you, certainly, in which case I'll do that now. All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. We move now to the technical question three, which is whether...
And I am very happy to move this, that the Council consider the notice of rescission number 10, curbside waste and recycling service review.
Thank you, Councillor Briffin. And Councillor Briffin needs a seconder. Councillor Sutton will go the seconder. It returns to you as the mover. Councillor Briffitt, go ahead.
Well, let's bring it on. I think we just need to have this discussion, so I'm very happy to support this, to move this motion, and hope it has the support of all my colleagues.
Thank you. Councillor Sutton will go. Anything else? Certainly. Any other speakers for or against? Otherwise, we'll go to the vote. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. We now move to item five, business. And the chief item of tonight's meeting, and the reason for tonight's meeting, 5.1.1, notice of rescission, number 10, curbside waste and recycling service review. Councillors, any questions regarding the notice of rescission? Councillor Tyler, then Councillor Hempel, and then Councillor Sutton-Lago. Go ahead. And then Councillor...
Thanks, Mayor Marston. Through you, a question for the Acting CEO. In your judgment, Acting CEO, is the decision of the council made on the 29th of June 2021 related to the curbside waste and recycling review, inconsistent with any part of the Local Government Act 2020, including Section 56, Community Engagement Principles, Section 58, Public Transparency Principles, or Section 60, Governance Rules.
Acting CEO, are you prepared to answer that?
Yeah. Through you, Mayor. Yes, Councillor Tyler. I'd say my personal judgment on this probably isn't relevant, but it is my understanding that last week's decision complied with the Local Government Act.
Thank you, Ms. Winslade. Any other questions, Councillor Tyler?
No, Mayor Martin. Thank you.
Certainly. We'll go now to Councillor Hemphill. Go ahead, Councillor Hemphill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just have a couple of questions. One, it relates to the decision that was made on the 29th. When I woke up the next morning, being a Wednesday, that's my normal garbage day, and I looked at my calendar, and now we have to go and reprint all those calendars if the rescission motion is lost today. How much
and the question?
Do those magnets cost to produce and distribute?
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. I'll now invite Ms. Katie McMahon to respond. We have an officer presence, but because we have an acting director, it's appropriate, I think, that the subject matter expert answer this question. Ms. McMahon, welcome, and please answer the question.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. My rough estimates for the costs would be to print the calendars, it's roughly $6,000, and to distribute, it's roughly $7,000. And there would also be a design cost, which I'm still trying to find.
Go ahead, another question.
Thank you. The other question... I lost my question page here. How much extra cost would be incurred by weekly garbage and a weekly food and green organics service? So if we were doing both?
Ms. McMahon.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So if we were looking to introduce weekly garbage and retain the weekly FOGO, there is an additional operating cost of $1.59 million, an additional capital cost of $110,000 capital cost, which equates to approximately $40 per household. This is for this new financial year, which would then increase with increasing landfill costs in the 22-23 financial year of an operating cost of $1.63
million.
The following financial year.
Thank you. Ms. McMahon, any other questions, Councillor Hemphill?
No, thank you. Thank you.
Terrific, thank you. Before I go to the Deputy Mayor, I'll go now to Councillor Suttler for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may ask the officers to clarify why they believe the random survey that was undertaken is more statistically significant than the online survey. Thank you.
Could you answer this, Ms. McMahon? Thank you.
The random survey provides a statistically robust and reliable understanding of the views of Hobsons Bay community. It's fully weighted to reflect suburb, age, gender, and has a 95% confidence level, so margin of error. Despite the larger numbers in the opt-in survey, the views of the random survey are more reflective of the views of the underlying Hobsons Bay community rather than the opt-in survey, as people who choose to complete the online survey are generally more actively engaged in issues, particularly those who have, potentially a more negative view. There tends to be more reason to choose to and complete the online survey, whereas residents who've been approached to complete the random survey didn't self-select and only had to passively agree to participate. So this ensures that they are more reflective of the underlying community view. The feedback from the opt-in survey and other channels, including focus groups and in-place consultations, has been heard and taken into account as part of the review. However, the officers view the statistically significant survey as the more representative of the entire community.
Any other questions?
Yes, just to follow up on the... there was a reference made to the increase in contamination, and I understand that that is correct. Is it also the case that green waste increased and that landfill overall decreased over the last couple of years with the current system?
Ms. McMahon, go ahead.
Yes, so the changes in landfill, there was a 33% decrease in landfill, and sorry, I'm just checking with the FOGO increase. So 33% decrease in landfill, and apologies. And there was an increase in FOGO by 124%.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McMahon. Any further questions? We move now to the Deputy Mayor. And I don't have any questions, and there seem to be no further questions, in which case we have the question of the rescission motion to deal with.
Mr. Mayor, I do have one question.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah. And that is, some councillors have put together, I mean, in the agenda, there's a number of statements made because of the way that the motion was written, which is quite long, and saying things like, you know, this decision is inconsistent with community engagement principles, etc. We've heard that it's not. So some of us have actually put together a document to clarify our position in relation to those things. I'm sure some councillors will speak to it during the discussion tonight, but I would also kindly ask that it be appended to the minutes of tonight's meeting as a record of the discussion and our position. And I'm very happy to table that and circulate that to council. Actually, I might just get a copy, sorry. Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Just one more. I'm seeking a request. I mean, it can clearly be marked that it's a submission by...
Yeah, thanks. I'm just getting some quick advice. Sure. I'll get back to you in a second. Thank you, Councillor Briffa. In answer to your question, and after consulting with legal counsel, I will disallow the attachment in the minutes. But of course, this document can be freely circulated outside the meeting.
Thank you. I'll accept that certainly for now, and invite people to contact us if they would like a copy. Thank you.
Yeah, certainly, and it seems to underpin the debate, which
will... And it's respectful, doesn't pick on any councillor or anything.
I accept all that, and I think, as you said, the councillors are likely to speak to it, in which case it'll go on record and be referred to within the debate, recorded on live stream as well as in the written minutes. So, thank you. So that is the end of all questions, I believe, for the motion before us. Do I have a mover for the rescission motion? Councillor Pamela Sutton-Lagoe, the mover for the motion. What do you move, given that we haven't got a recommendation before us? Do you have a form of words that you would like to put forward? Did you hear that? Yeah, you got it? Okay, good. So the words should be on screen now. I've just got to turn around to look at them.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, I think it should read, the council rescinds the motion from on curbside waste review, waste and recycling service review agreed to by the council on June 29th.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to second that.
Are you happy?
To be more specific, it's item 8.3.1
yep.
on June 29. Item 8.3.1.
I think we're getting there. Wordsmithing by committee is a slow process, but I think we've got a set of words, which is what you're moving, Councillor Sutton Lagoe, just to be clear. Oh, well, when the typing stops. All right, so I'll read it out. That the council rescinds the decision made on item 8.3.1, curbside waste and recycling service review agreed to at the council meeting on 29 June 2021. Okay, so everyone see those words? And I call for a seconder.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'd already agreed to second.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Hemphill, the seconder. In which case, we go now to Councillor Sutton Lagoe to speak to the motion. You have 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. There are a number of reasons for this notice of rescission. It is our view that whilst some may disagree, that it is our view that the community and some councillors did not have a chance to read or ask questions regarding the significant last-minute change to the council's staff's recommendation on waste management, that we retain the current system and give the option of an upsized landfill bin to those who want it. The decision was inconsistent with a number of our ways of operating, our transparency principles and our governance rules, in that we aim to make our council decision-making processes should be transparent, except when the council is dealing with information that is confidential by virtue of this act or any other act, and this was not the case. That we enable, we institute decision-making processes to ensure that any person whose rights will be directly affected by a decision of the council is entitled to communicate their views and have their interests considered. And again, in this situation, I don't believe that this was the case. We want to make sure that, yes, we want the community to be able to have their voices heard. And on this occasion, it was actually quite difficult for members of the public to even see the change that was made. And it was very difficult for councillors to understand what the changes really meant. So the last-minute change is inconsistent with our own governance rules that require us to provide a transparent decision-making process to our community with opportunities for reasonable consultation. It's clear from the significant community response about this issue, including a petition with more than 1,600 signatures gathered over 2 days by a really concerned community that the Council has not made the right decision on this occasion, has ignored its own research and recommendations from Council staff, and indeed the majority of residents who support the current system. Neither the councillors nor the community fully understand the cost of the decision, and it is best practice to understand the financial implications as well as the environmental costs before making such a change and a serious commitment. It is in our interests and in the interests of our community and future communities to try to stem the tide of a rising landfill pile. And I ask us to, why we want to support this is to step back from that. We've heard comments that contamination has increased, and it has. But as we've also heard within the same data, the massive increase in green waste collection, as well as the reduction in landfill. So all of these things take time, and we want the opportunity to make sure that the voices of the community are heard. We undertook a survey requested by councillors to hear what the community thought. And we've already heard that the random survey is statistically more valid, and that the majority of people supported the current system. And even in the online survey, 50% were satisfied or are quite satisfied with the current system. So the community is calling for accountability. They want a transparency on the decision making, have the opportunity to comment on the things that that we are making decisions on, and to listening to them. What I've heard is that we love our four bin system, we love our municipality, we love our natural spaces, and we do not want landfill to keep getting better. This decision is a backwards step, so let's step forward rather than stepping backwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lagoe. Next is the seconder to the motion. Councillor Peter Hempel, you have 3 minutes to speak to the motion. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Like Councillor Sutton-Lagoe, I was concerned about how this was the motion that on item 8.3.1 last week came to us. We were given 15 minutes notice. It was never discussed in any briefings to any great extent, so there was no chance to put a coherent alternative view. And particularly, a lot of, as Councillor Sutton-Lagoe pointed out, a lot of people couldn't even see what we were voting on last week, but judging by the outrage of the last few days, borne out by the number of people that emailed us, the survey that... petition... that has got up in the last 2 days, that is certainly borne out there. I actually asked for it to be referred last week so that all councillors could be briefed on how much this was going to cost and the justification behind it, because it went against the council officer recommendation. I noticed that it cost $60,000 just to do the community survey. We've heard that there will be some reprinting of fridge magnets and such, and I'm sure that there are other costs to come up, such as renegotiation of existing contracts, and there are probably a lot of other costs which I can't think of at the moment. The move to the four-bin system, as it was, had resulted in 35% or 33% less waste going to landfill. The aim was to reduce it to 54% over that. Or over 2 years, that is to June of next year. And I highly doubt that will now occur with this latest move. Make no mistake, in my view, the move to the weekly red bin general waste collection will see more people throw their food waste in there as well, and we'll be back to where we started from. I'm also aware of one councillor also flagging bringing back weekly FOGO as well as weekly bin garbage. As we heard, it'll cost another $1.7 million, which is equivalent to about 1% rate rise. I guess the point is that the survey, there's two parts to it. There's the statistically valid and
the opt-in survey. And what we're seeing from the statistically valid, clearly most majority of residents don't want weekly general waste collection. The other point is that only 15% of residents say we're doing a poor or a very poor job on waste collection. And I've seen a lot of stuff around, and I would say that it's all fake news. And I would suggest that there will be a lot of statistics thrown at us, as they were last week, from the survey, just to befuddle residents. So the most important point is that this won't be good for us. We'll see more waste going to the landfill, and I would be highly surprised if we reach our target of 54%. In fact, I would think that we would go backwards.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Please, this is your first and final warning. Oh, thank you. But I'm quite serious. This is not a place for public participation. It did not have to be done. In fact, it's explicitly against the meeting procedure rules, which I read out clearly. And I expect you to...
I accept your first warning. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we now move to hear from another speaker, preferably against the rescission motion. Councillor Tyler would like to speak. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Marston. I note the reasons put forward for the notice of rescission are both serious and also unsubstantiated, with no information provided regarding the basis for these claims or supporting evidence. And as we've heard from the Acting CEO, in spite of the claims and the notice of rescission, no part of the decision made last week is inconsistent with the Local Government Act. In the interest of transparency, I do hope that there's an opportunity for members of the public to access the document that Councillor LaBriffa sought to table, which responds to the claims in the notice of rescission and categorically refutes each claim, drawing on evidence. Due to time, I won't seek to address each claim here, although I will address serious and unsubstantiated claims regarding community engagement. Thanks to a notice of motion supported by all councillors, all residents and ratepayers had the opportunity to provide input into this most recent review. Over 6,000 responses, incredible engagement. This approach stands in stark contrast to the community engagement completed prior to the 8th October 2019 decision to shift from weekly to fortnightly general rubbish collection. That decision was based on the waste and litter management strategy adopted by Council on the 9th of July 2019, which received submissions from 87 community members. The strategy found, and it's in the document, 85% of people were very satisfied with weekly garbage collection, and a further 11% were satisfied with weekly garbage collection. There was no recommendation or consultation completed regarding shifting garbage collection to fortnightly, and in spite of this, with no further consultation, Council resolved to change the curbside collection frequencies on the 8th of October 2019. Perhaps if there was a phased and consultative approach taken to this change initially, we would be in a different position now. With regards to transparency, switching general rubbish collection and FOGO had been modelled by Council officers and was included in the review which was released to the public. What's most unfortunate about this notice of rescission is that it's fuelling further division. I appreciate people have strong perspectives on this issue, and personally, it's been a very challenging decision. There is a lot, though, that brings this councillor group and our community together, areas where we agree. First, support for the four bin system. There's a lot we can be proud of, particularly with regards to decreased landfill, and there is no intention to depart from this four bin system. Many people, including myself, are supportive of this system, although that doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement. Second, we share a commitment to reducing landfill. Unfortunately, since general waste moved from weekly to fortnightly collection, we've seen a doubling in the number of truckloads of recycling that are going straight to landfill. And again, those numbers are in the report. And this is where there are some differences. While I encourage each household to take responsibility for limiting their waste, and education certainly plays a part in reducing contamination, we won't make progress by failing to meet the needs of at least 40% of households. We need to acknowledge the lived, day-to-day realities. People take time to change, and this is an important reset. The numbers here speak for themselves, and I'm not seeking to befuddle residents, I'm seeking to share evidence. The review found that between 2-6% of the FOGO stream is food organics, or taking the midpoint of 4%. Mayor, I'd like to seek permission to speak for an additional 2 minutes.
Certainly a seconder. All right, I have Councillor Callender, the seconder. Yes.
Given that...
State your point of order, first of all. Which of those... No, that's not a point of order, but is what? No, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to turn that down because it's not a point of order. I'm going to go back to Councillor Tyler to finish speaking. I've let the clock run down, so you now have 45 seconds remaining.
I request an additional 2 minutes.
I'm sorry, in addition to those 2 minutes, you have 45 seconds remaining because I omitted to pause the clock at that point, so you have two... 2 minutes and 45. Assuming that people accept the extension of time, all those in favour of the extension of time, all those against, the motion is carried. You have 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marsden. The review found that between 2-6% of the FOGO stream is food organics, or taking the midpoint of 4%, 689 tonnes over the first year of the new system, or less than 3% of total food waste that is not sent to landfill. Compare this to contaminated recycling going directly to landfill. 3,336 tonnes sent directly to landfill over the same period. Relative to food waste diverted from landfill, there's almost five times as much contaminated recycling going directly to landfill. This is an unintended consequence of the new system. While I hope we see increases to food waste diverted thanks to paper compostable bags, it hasn't been the main game that has underpinned reductions in landfill. That's come predominantly from garden organics. I'm hoping that together with ongoing education and the changes that Council has already supported, we see a decline in the contamination of recycling and therefore landfill. Of course, I'd love to have a weekly FOGO service, although I'm mindful of the costs imposed on residents. While I know people, including myself, are concerned about the environment and there's no perfect answer here, these changes attend to the reality of the situation that we're presently in and get the balance right.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. I'll now ask for a speaker for the rescission motion, if there is anyone, but they're against, certainly. Please, go ahead. Deputy Mayor, you have 3 minutes.
So I just want to start by noting that the amendment made was not to simply reinstate garbage alone. So the questions that were asked earlier that allude to a cost increase of $1.5 million is actually misleading because that's not the case. The cost is included in the meeting attachments as an alternative scenario item two. So I call on anyone who is interested to look at that, including those who didn't pay attention to the scenario in briefing sessions. The argument that the phone survey is more statistically valid on the basis that residents who choose to complete the online survey are more actively involved in community issues impacts both sides of any debate. Those passionately for and against have an equal opportunity to access and complete this survey, so this point has no practical relevance. I'd like to point out that a telephone survey could also have operator bias. On this basis, the Office's view that a phone survey, a survey of 500 people, is a more statistically representative view than the online survey, a survey of 5,000 plus residents, is simply an opinion and not a proven fact. The CEO earlier confirmed that the sections of the Local Government Act and governance rules were not breached. We recently voted on a contract renewal for garbage collection, and I'd like to note that this was deemed to not be a guaranteed contract, so it means that we can change them at any point in time. There is a massive increase in green waste, and that is proven, and that's because not every household had a green waste bin before the implementation of Recycling 2.0. So it's really that simple. While the curbside waste review notes an average satisfaction rating of 7.4 out of 10, the garbage stream online results indicate an extremely poor satisfaction rating, 4.97 out of 10 for bin size, and lower again at 4.6. out of 10 for frequency of collection. I'd argue that maybe some councillors are choosing to ignore that this significant and statistically valid data from the extensive community survey, a survey made available to all households to complete, voted in after an attempt was made to defer this community engagement, a deferral attempt by some of these same councillors. Almost all the respondents to both surveys dissatisfied with the frequency of general rubbish bins preferred that they be collected weekly. With costs not being a factor, the majority of residents want their bin collected weekly, and this is another valid statistic from the extensive community survey. Let's talk about public transparency principles. The same councillors, all of us, sit in the same meetings where we're presented with facts surrounding bin audits, facts that call out bin presentation rates of 100% for the garbage bin and approximately 50% for the FOGO. Overflowing residential bin rates of 40% for the garbage bin.
30 seconds.
I'd like an extension as well, please.
Certainly. Councillor Callender has called for an extension, seconded by Councillor Greemer. All those in favour? All those against?
Well, transparency.
The extension is granted.
Facts that were released late, as late attachment to last week's pack, and why? Because I asked for them to be attached in the name of transparency. Meetings that call out that almost 30% of waste in park bins is deemed bagged residential waste. Information, again, that's only been made transparent because I asked for the question. I asked that question in last week's public meeting. Did you know that highly contaminated recycling bin loads have been sent directly to landfill? This includes routes covering parts of Altona Meadows, Altona North and Laverton. And this is another piece of controversial information that was only made public because I asked that question in chambers in the name of transparency. No one seemed to care that the waste and litter management strategy adopted in mid-2019 contained an action to phase out single-use products in council venues, function and events, yet by 2021 it hadn't been actioned. My notice of motion in Feb, almost 2 years later, called for this to be addressed immediately. The motion was also challenged by a deferral attempt. In undertaking the waste review, a range of alternatives were provided, and these were detailed in the public attachments. The amendment I put up proposed one of these alternative scenarios, a scenario that was financially modelled by officers, released to the public at the same time as the original officer recommendation and included in our briefing sessions, an option that addresses issues identified in the information we've received. It addresses the issues surrounding costs. It's not $41 or $1.5 million like some residents who like to spread information are preaching. It's a forward-thinking option that allows council to change direction in future without the need for further significant capital costs. An option that does not involve 10, 20, 30,000 new bins being rolled out and then the need to dispose of them later on. An option equally informed by known implementation costs to ratepayers as the original motion. But unlike the original motion, the amendment is not impacted by uptake, which could see costs blow out from $370,000 to $1.3. I did ask officers to include a sliding scale of these capital costs based on uptake for transparency, but it never transpired.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. I'll now call for other speakers to the motion. So, given, obviously, thank you. I'm going to ask for the remaining speakers who've yet to speak to speak if they wish. Councillor Greemer will go next. You have 3 minutes.
Yeah. I want to make it clear, I support recycling and so do the councillors, the council and the community. This is not the question here. It is the capacity allowed per household, per family for general waste. That is the real issue. All the people that have addressed their concerns to me about the lack of volume are very enthusiastically recyclers. At the same time, council has been quoted addressing that it's costing $400,000 per atom for illegal dumping, which I do not approve of. Some people are resorting to illegal dumping, using council bins at shopping centres, including charity bins, to dispose excess waste. And I acknowledge charity bins are not a council issue, but it's a community issue, and I'm here to serve the community with my council colleagues. This is not good for council or for business or for the environment. The real question is, what can council do to reduce the volume of general waste? I am committed to working with all the councillors and the community to achieve this. This process should not include the bottom, should not include the community, and based on a bottom-up process in favour of a bottom-top-down. Let's ask the questions. What do residents usually put in their general waste? Whether this can be reduced. Let's use an example: non-recyclable packaging. Is that part of the which is part of the consumerism? I would invite council, to come and look and seek advice and go on a tour to see how our recycling and our rubbish is being managed. I've also was elected to serve my community and work for them to achieve a good outcome. I'm also committed to more than half my life of cleaning up rubbish and planting trees, which I will continue to do so. I'm also have been privileged with my councillor colleague, Councillor Tyler, to put to the motion, to the budget, sorry, regarding cloth nappies, which is an option to explore or an option that you may already want to intake.
30 seconds.
So what was that? Oh, 30 seconds.
Yeah. 30 seconds, yeah. Go ahead.
So I encourage everyone from the community and the public to see how we can unite and work together. And having given options for a larger bins for free, I believe is not good way for the environment or economically friendly. I do not believe that. And in the past, we have seen and heard from council, rubbish bins have been put in the bin. That's not environmentally friendly. And also I want to add that if we want to revisit this, for example, if everything's going okay, I'll use an example, in 18 months' time, we might go back to fortnightly, not suggesting that we are. What's going to happen to the larger bins that are overflowing? It's going to go in the bin. That's not good.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer.
Thank you.
Okay, we now have everyone speaking to the motion except for Councillor Briffa. Would you like to take the opportunity now, Councillor Briffa?
I sure will. Thank you.
Certainly. You have 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll try and be succinct. We have been discussing this as a council, amongst ourselves as councillors, with the council administration, many briefings, with the community, and as councillors, we've heard from thousands of residents from all sides of the debate. I will be voting against this rescission motion tonight and continue to support the resolution by the council made last Tuesday. I believe, as I said last week, in a minimum basic service level for waste services, and believe that includes having general waste collected by council every week. I really don't think that is too much for residents to expect. That is not to say the council will not continue to raise awareness and support reducing waste and increasing recycling, amongst other environmental initiatives and education programs. We must care for the environment, but limiting a service that is only accessible to families and residents that can afford to upsize their bins is not the answer. Despite the comments by some and the fake news mentioned previously, a reduction of landfill waste, guess what? It'll continue. The 4-bin system, guess what? It'll continue. Messaging and awareness raising of environmental issues by the council and the need to reduce waste and increasing recycling, that's going to continue. FOGO, guess what? That's going to continue. The purple bin for glass recycling, that's going to continue as well. Importantly, the council will continue to seek continual improvement to gain environmental outcomes and improve service levels in relation to our waste services. We can do all of those things while still collecting people's rubbish weekly. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Griffin. We now go to the mover of the motion, which is Councillor Sutton Legault, to sum up and close debate. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate the input from all the councillors. And a remark on Councillor Tyler's comment about how these sorts of processes should be implemented, phased and consultative. And I completely agree. And I don't think that this is what happened on this occasion. I do not think we have taken a phased and consultative approach to this this decision. There's been questions about whether this meets with the Local Government Act, the community engagement principles, transparency. I do not think it is transparent to bring a last-minute change of such significance to a council meeting without the public, without the councillors having an opportunity to really understand the implications of the change. That, to me, is not transparent. We are here to recognise what the community cares about, and the feedback, the emails, which have all been very considered by the community, means that we need to challenge these decisions when they are not done, feel like they're not done in the best interest of the community, and when they are done at a pace that doesn't give us a chance to consider or ask questions in a reasonable time frame.
30 seconds.
Yeah. I obviously support this decision. I hope that we will think about what we're doing and that we really think about what happens in the future when we make these sorts of decisions, when we go backwards instead of forward. I encourage everyone to think about this very hard. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton Legault. So that concludes debate. And we now put the rescission motion to a vote. I'll put the motion to the vote now. All of those in favour of the rescission motion. All those against?
Griffith, didn't you have your hand up?
I'm getting excited about voting against.
All those against? The motion is lost. Thank you. Councillor Biffer has called for a division, in which case we'll take the vote again, so feel free to change your minds. Yeah, this is it, and then we're going home. So, yeah, all those in favour is Councillor Marsden, Councillor Hemphill, Councillor Sutton Legault. All those against the motion, the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Callender, Councillor Brafar, Councillor Greemer, and Councillor Tyler. The motion is therefore lost. As there are no further items of business, I will close the meeting at 7:51. Thank you all. Thank you, sir, for attending, and thank you to all in the gallery for your attendance as well. Thank you to the acting directors, the acting CEO, and my fellow councillors for a very lively debate. Good night, everyone.